Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops. The rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
It's halftime at UD Arena. Our halftime program today is being brought to you by the Bob Ross Auto Group on Loop Road in Centerville. Now let's head back to the studios for halftime.
I like to interview fascinating people at halftime. Now, sometimes they're actually not coaches, believe it or not. But last month, Randy Molman was here with SIU Edwardsville Cougars, and he does tons of things. We'll get into some of them. But he does their games on radio in the St. Louis area. He does their games on ESPN+. He is also the public address announcer for the University of Missouri Columbia, my alma mater. Randy, thank you. Here's where I want to go first. As a PA announcer, how did you get that gig? You've been doing it for a long time.
I have. Well, it's funny. I'll try to keep it brief, but out of college, I wanted to do play-by-play. That's what I wanted to do, but of course, I didn't stick to journalism. I didn't like the print media, so I ended up getting a history degree. I took some broadcast communications classes, but I sent out some demos, and I got offers to do play-by-play out of college. As you know, when you come out of college and you go to these little small towns, they don't pay.
Moberly. That was my first job.
That was your job, Moberly,
yes.
Missouri?
Quicks and Crafts, yes.
So I had three offers in these little small towns in Texas, Pennsylvania, South Carolina. I was like, how am I going to get another job and pay my bills because this doesn't pay very well. Anyway, I put that all on hold. I came back to it about 15 years later, doing minor league baseball, auditioned, got a job as a public address announcer. And then I just started, as you know, you got to be persistent. I just started sending stuff, emails to people, and I went back to my alma mater, University of Missouri, and I said, I'm here in case you need a sub. And then in 2010, the public address announcer left. They held an open audition. I got an email from Mizzou to tell me to come audition. I think there was about 40 people who auditioned. We auditioned at the basketball arena first, and then they called me back a couple weeks later. I was the finalist and auditioned at Faro Field in Columbia, Missouri, and I ended up getting the job. So
what's an audition like for a PA announcer? For an actual game, or do they put you in a room and say, yell M-I-Z-Z-O-U?
So we start at Mizzou Arena, and they give you a script of things they want to hear you read, and they scatter people throughout the arena to listen, and they take notes. So I read some of the sponsor reads, advertisement reads, whatever. Then they give you starting lineups, and they want to hear how you're going to do the starting lineup. So you read the starting lineup, and then they have a monitor there where they'll put plays up, and they'll pause it after a basket or whatever. They want to hear how you're going to announce the basket. Football was the same, except with football highlights on the monitor. So
very realistic. They try to make
it realistic, for sure.
So in your opinion, how did you think you got the job? Was it your oration, your oratory skills? Was it your enthusiasm? Was it your articulation?
I do get a lot of people who say, anytime I talk and then they find out I do announcing work, they say, well, that's not a surprise. So I think it was my oration, and my voice is fairly deep. And I grew up, an interesting fact, I grew up with deaf parents. So I have always had to articulate. They never wanted me to learn how to do sign language. They just read lips, and I had to speak clearly all the time, and I think that really helped in my audition process to be an announcer. So I think that was part of it. I could tell you, at Faro Field in Columbia, it's a 70,000-seat stadium. I had never worked in a stadium that big, and every time I would make an announcement, it would reverb back to me in a second and a half. I had to stop three times. I drove home, called my wife and said, no way I got that job. No way. I botched the whole thing. And I ended up getting it.
So. You know, I didn't know if, like, you admired, like, PA announcers growing up.
For
like
sure.
Dave Zinkoff?
No, I don't know that. Now, who is
Philadelphia 76ers?
No.
I'll be free!
There were local guys in St. Louis. You were in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Holder, who used to
of
do
course.
The St. Louis Football Cardinals.
Yep, KSDK.
Yep, and Joel Myers, who ended up having a long broadcast career, was the L.A. Lakers play-by-play guy for years.
Now
he
Pelicans.
Started, yeah, he started as the public address announcer at Busch Stadium when I was a kid in St. Louis during their 1982 World Series run. So I listened to those guys when I was a kid. I definitely did. I would mimic them in the yard when we'd go out and play.
So, obviously, there's probably no course on how to be a PA announcer.
No.
But it has to be challenging. First of all, tell me your preparation. You have to basically do it like you're broadcasting the game. You have to memorize the line. Let's talk basketball first.
Yes.
It's a little easier because you're closer.
Yeah.
You have to memorize the lineups to be able to call the right person, say, getting the foul or the basket.
Well, good thing for me, because my short-term memory is getting worse and worse as I get older. I do have a cheat sheet in front of me, so that helps. And for basketball, it's actually a lot easier because there's a lot less players. In football, you've got rosters of 50, 60 guys that are you're sitting in front of you, and I have a spotter next to me in football. So he has the binoculars on the play. He just yells out numbers. Number 30, the ball carry. Number 70, the tackle. I look on my sheet, boom, make the announcement. If I had to memorize that stuff, I'd have been out of a job quickly, Barney. I would have been out of a job quickly.
So the other thing is, like, in football, it's also tricky. You have to also know the official signals.
Yes.
To not say it was offside when it was another type of penalty.
I'll tell you what I learned early, because I thought I would have to make those announcements, and then I realized the head official, the white hat they call him, he's got a mic on, so he makes the announcement. All I have to say is penalty flag. That's it.
As
there
long
you go.
As his mic is working.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you had a situation, you've been doing it for a long time, where the mic doesn't work? Guess what? It's up to you now to inform everyone.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, well, so that's happened a couple of times where the mic's not working, no one knows, and so then I'll jump in and say, that was a hold on number 70, or the official has called a penalty, and I make the announcement. The other night, at the Missouri-Florida game, last play of the game, Florida drops the pass, and the game's over.
And they're interviewing Eli.
They're interviewing people.
Yes.
Yeah. And I had announced the game's over, we win, whatever. But meanwhile, no one had noticed. The official went to review.
1 second left.
1 second yes. left. So I had to come back on and say,
did you have to say clear the field?
We need the field cleared. And then I said, after official review, there was 1 second on the clock. This game is not over yet. It's second down and 10. And then I had to kind of step in because the official was nowhere. He didn't make any announcement. So
I was going to ask you, a bizarre way to end a game. That's got to be toward the top then, I would imagine.
Yeah, I've never had to make an announcement telling everyone there's still time on the clock left. That was a first.
Have you, seems like it either happens a lot now or we hear a lot about it. Have you ever had a hot mic situation where you said something where you wish you wouldn't have?
Barney, not at Mizzou, luckily, but I was doing minor league baseball, and our coach, in a tie game late, had the winning run at second base with one out or no outs, and then he pulled a double steal from the guys on first and second, and the hot mic was on, I'd forgotten to turn it off, and I turned to the people next to me, and I go, that was crazy. Out loud. In front of everyone, I basically called out our manager in front of everybody, 5,000 people, and I felt terrible. I sent him an email and apologized, went to him the next day and told him I was so sorry, and he just laughed it off. He was nice about it.
Well, the nice thing is, I doing games,
yes.
I don't curse,
yes.
even in my regular life, because
yes.
You never know.
Exactly.
So that makes sense.
Yes.
This is more for me, probably, than our audience, but... How are you signaled? Like, you will yell M-I-Z, and and they will yell ZOU.
Yes.
That's short for Missouri.
Yes.
Do you do that whenever you want? Are you prompted? Are you given a signal of when to do it?
So we normally only do it on first down. So that's, you know, every football program in the country has a tradition that they do at football games. And at the University of Missouri, it's Mizzou, right? So first down, M-I-Z, and the crowd yells Z-O-U. Now, every so often, we'll have, like, a special acknowledgement of a Hall of Fame player, and then we'll M-I-Z at the end of that, and everyone will yell Z-O-U. But it's usually only on first downs.
Oh, okay. I never realized that, or I never picked it up.
But I did start, quick fact, I did start an M-I-Z tradition at basketball games. We didn't have one. Last year was my first year doing full-time Missouri men's basketball public address. And I turned to the folks next to me and I go, we don't do any MIZs for basketball. They said no. And I said, I'm going to give something a try. Will you let me give something a try? And they said, sure. So I did. We hit our first three in our opening game. The ball goes down and I was like, that's a 3-4 MIZ. And the crowd kind of went, huh? And they yelled ZOU and it took off just like that. So now every three, MIZZOU.
Now, logistically, because you don't really have one side of the stadium, then another, and a court in the middle, so did they have to figure it out on who says what?
No, I do the MIZs and they all yell
the whole
ZOU.
Crowd.
The whole
okay,
crowd so yells ZOU, yeah.
Well, we'll hope that will sustain,
yeah.
Unlike the wave, which is kind of
yeah,
gone,
that's right. That's right.
Gone away. Let's, in a couple moments here,
yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about what else you do sports-wise.
Oh.
You do a lot.
So I was the public address announcer for the St. Louis Battlehawks in the XFL this last season and in 2020 when the first iteration. That was another audition process. I did some backfill work at St. Louis City, the new MLS team in St. Louis this year. I did it, got to do a game. I do all of the SIUE women's play-by-play. I travel with SIUE women's basketball. I'll sit in and do public address when they need me, and I'll sit in and do play-by-play for all SIUE sports when they need me. And then I do some high school stuff as well, high school football and basketball.
So in the summer, when you're not doing anything, do you ever just, like, go out in your yard and practice? Or
I catch myself sometimes. I make myself laugh. I'll be driving down the highway somewhere, and I'll just start reading billboards. You know, I just start out loud, just, you know,
that's okay.
John Stevens, chiropractor, give him a call.
Well, it's like, I told you, we got about one more minute, but yeah. I told you that I listened to St. Louis University and they cracked me up because they have, this is sponsored by the Allergy Clinic or something.
Yes.
They need somebody to like start sneezing in the background.
Yes.
You have a unique, you have a unique radio station you're on. Give us a little bit of an indication on how that has worked out.
It's been great. I used to do on sports, on one of the main sports talk stations years ago, every Friday morning, very early, I would have my own show. And that kind of went away when new management took over. So I was looking for another station, and there's a station, KXOK, which broadcasts some of the SIUE games. They are a longtime station in St. Louis, but they used to be much bigger. They've kind of consolidated down a little bit, a smaller signal. And I do a little sports show every Thursday morning, 8 a.m., KXOK.com. It's on the dial in St. Louis, and it's online at KXOK.com.
8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern.
That's right.
I will
that
tune
is right.
In. And we thank Randy Molman, and that is our halftime interview for today.
The halftime program was brought to you today by the Bob Ross Auto Group on Loop Road in Centerville. Now let's head back to the arena for the second half of today's contest.